Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
J.D. Greer, pastor in North Carolina, sums up the gospel this way: Jesus in our place. The idea that Jesus lived the perfect life that we couldn't and haven't, that Jesus died a sinner's death that we deserved, and then rose victoriously over sin and death out of the grave on our behalf, achieving victory over sin and death for those who place faith in Him. Jesus in our place. This morning I want to invite you to turn your Bibles two places. First, I want to invite you to go to Mark chapter 15. And then I want you to go ahead and put your finger in John chapter 20. As you go to Mark 15, so Mark 15, John 20, go ahead and put your finger in both places. Open up your Bibles. There's Bibles in the pews. Grab one if you don't have one, to Mark chapter 15. In Mark 14, 36, we see Jesus go to the Garden of Gethsemane, gather those closest to Him, and He prays. He prays for what He knows is about to happen. And in verse 36, He prays specifically this. Mark 14, verse 36. He says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Remove this cup from Me. Yet not what I will, but what You will." Jesus was talking about something very specific there. He's talking about removing the cup of God's wrath from Him that He was about to have to drink. Through His condemnation, His arrest, the trials, and the crucifixion. The Old Testament gives us a picture of God's wrath, and that picture is usually a cup. In Jeremiah chapter 25 in the Old Testament, verses 15 and 16, it says this: "Thus the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, 'Take from My hand this cup of the wine of wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. They shall drink and stagger and be crazed because of the sword that I am sending among them.'" In that passage, Jeremiah is speaking on God's behalf, talking about the wrath of God upon the sin of men. Sin that steals, kills, and destroys individuals. Sin that steals, kills, and destroys families. Sin that results in suffering and tragedy and death. Sin that we would agree deserves nothing less than condemnation, nothing less than eternal damnation, nothing less than the full cup of God's wrath. We want, even secular people want, justice for sin. And our God is just. And in a moment, we're going to read Mark 15. This is the part that's going to be different. I'm going to read more than I'm going to preach this morning. Some of you are thankful for that. But I believe in the power of God's Word. I just want us to read this morning and listen. Because when we read Mark 15, we are going to hear God's wrath being poured out upon His Son, who took the cup of that wrath in our place. And we are also going to hear not only of God's wrath upon our sin, we are going to hear of God's love for us. In the same actions, in the same events that we hear of God's wrath upon our sin, we hear of God's love for us. We see His wrath for our sin when we see Jesus condemned in our place. We see God's wrath for our sin when we see Jesus mocked in our place. We see God's wrath for our sin when we see Jesus beaten in our place. We see God's wrath for our sin when we see Jesus nailed to the cross in our place. We see God's wrath for our sin when we see Jesus hanging upon the cross in our place. And we see God's wrath for our sin when we see Jesus die in our place. and we see God's love for us. When we see Jesus condemned in our place. And we see God's love for us when we see Jesus mocked in our place and arrested in our place. And we see God's love for us when we see Jesus beaten in our place and nailed to the cross in our place. And we see God's love for us when we see Him hang on the cross in our place and then die in our place. So I want to invite you to read along with me and follow along with me in the Word and listen for both of those things intertwined, God's wrath upon our sin, but also His great and merciful and grace-filled love for us in the event of the cross. Mark chapter 15. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and led Him away and delivered Him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things, and Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, He used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him released for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate asked again, said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him with a purple cloth, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him, and the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among them whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the younger and Joseph and Salome. When he was in the Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud and, taking him down, wrapped him in a linen shroud, laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of a rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
John chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, to the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him there. Take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have yet to ascend to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands and the mark of his nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe."
Amen.
And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. If Jesus had stayed in the grave, we would not have hope today. But praise God, he is alive and reigning today. Believer, if you're here, perhaps this year, these years up to this day have been hard, and your joy in the Lord has waned, your vigor for his kingdom has waned, would you please plead with him this morning to restore that joy in your heart in him? Because we have reason to sing this morning and reason to sing loud. Our Lord and our God is alive and reigning. If you're here this morning and you don't believe, and you're going, "How can I have that life that is in him?" Those words were written for you so that you may believe and may have life in Him and life abundantly and life eternally with the one who loved you and gave Himself up for you, and with the one who gave His only begotten Son for you so that you may have life eternally. So the call to you this morning is simple. The Bible tells us to believe in His life, death, and resurrection, and repent of our sins, turning to Him. In other words, giving Him charge over our life. If you're ready to do that this morning, we want to invite you, as we sing and as believers pray, to come forward or sit in your pew and cry out to God as a beggar. Father, save me. I needed your Son's perfect life. I need His death on the cross, and I need His resurrection, His victory over sin and death. Please save me. You can do that today and have life in Jesus alone. I want to pray, and then I want us to sing, and however the Spirit is leading you to respond today, I want you to respond. I will remain down front here if you need someone to counsel you or to pray with you, or you can remain in your pews or come to the altar. Let's pray and let's celebrate. Father, we love you. God, we thank you. As a church, we thank you today that we have victory over sin and death. We have the hope of eternal life. We have hope beyond suffering, tragedy, and death in this life because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you would restore our joy where we've lost it so that we can be a bright, shining light here in Cairo. Lord, we pray for those who have yet to believe and repent and turn to Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And we pray that they would, so that their joy in you can begin today. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to you.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.